tonight, I'm thinking, it's good to see my grandson Lincoln got in. They just arrived just before service tonight, off the road, coming from Missouri, and good to see him here. I'm thinking tonight about a song. I think the guy's still alive that wrote the song. His name was Mick Jagger, and he wrote it with Keith Richards. It was released in 1965, I remember it well, and it was a rock song. These guys sang about the rock that rolls, right? Rock and roll. And this song, it was a classic rock and roll song. I still believe rock and roll is of the devil. It was of Satan. It was put upon our country to destroy our country. And their song really had a message to it. It was called "I Can't Get No Satisfaction." I can't get no satisfaction. You know, that was what they kept saying over and over in that song. And they say, "I try and I try and I try. You know, I can't get no." And they kept preaching that they couldn't get any satisfaction in fornication, in drugs, and in all the things that they tried. And they had more opportunities because of the money and the glitter and the glamour and rock and roll to get all the world had to offer, and still they couldn't get any satisfaction. Now, that was rock and roll, but I'm thinking of a wealthy businessman at in his day and in his time. He was the wealthiest, probably the wealthiest man in the world. Maybe you heard of him, John David Rockefeller, John D. Rockefeller, the great oil magnate. And he was worth, in today's terms, billions of dollars. I heard Elon Musk just turned a trillionaire. So what's a trillionaire? Wow, that's 1,000 billion. That's a lot of billions. But John D. Rockefeller, rich man, and he could not eat more than $1.99 worth of food a day because his stomach was so nervous and so stirred up. Couldn't get the satisfaction that all that wealth could afford. So I have chosen for my text tonight a verse that tells you, if you're a born-again believer, that you should have characteristic of your life, satisfaction or contentment. Do you? You know, there was one of the Puritans wrote a book called The Rare Jewel of Christian Contentment. And many times believers in Christ don't have that satisfaction. They could sing, "I can't get no satisfaction," but it need not be so. You can have satisfaction, and that's my message tonight. I looked up Webster's 1828 dictionary defines contentment. I'll first of all read our text tonight. It's 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 8, and I'll include verse 9, but I won't read that now. 1 Timothy 6, verse 6 through 8 says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content." As I said, Webster's 1828 dictionary defines that content as a resting satisfaction of mind without disquiet. Acquiescence, in other words, submission to God as far as what he gives us. Remember Job, one of the richest men of the world. He said, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away." What? Blessed be the name of the Lord. That was acquiescence to God's will. That's what Paul said. "I can abound and be content when I have a lot, but I also can be abased and still be content." How about you? Where are you there when the unsaved look at you? Do they see satisfaction? They can't get satisfaction in this world. Do they see you getting satisfaction tonight? We talked about joy this morning. How about you as far as satisfaction? And God says here that in order to have contentment or satisfaction, you have to have something according to verse 8. Can one of the men tell me what you have to have, according to 1 Timothy 6, verse 8, if you're going to have contentment, if you're going to have the rare jewel of Christian contentment? What do you need to have?
Basic needs.
Basic needs, food and raiment. But you can have more than basic needs, can't you, as a Christian? You can have all kinds of things and still not have satisfaction. So the question I'm asking you, what do you have to have in your life to enjoy satisfaction? What is it?
The humility to know that God is the provider of everything that you have gratefully.
All right, and what's the one word that's used here, Brother Jose, in verse 6, I believe it is?
Contentment.
What's that?
Contentment.
Yeah, contentment is what you get. But in order to have that contentment, I'm looking for one word. Let me get it here.
Godliness.
Godliness. Godliness with contentment is what? Great gain. So the fact that we don't have what Brother Jose here said, the fact we don't have contentment, that you're not acquiescent, that you're not at rest, that you're not at peace with what God has given you or not given you, the fact you don't have that and you're all stirred up, that you're lacking in godliness. And so you can have satisfaction, but you need to have godliness in your life to have satisfaction. So the name of my message tonight is You Can, listen, Have Satisfaction. And there are three things that will be put together so that you could have satisfaction in your life. Number one, by the source of it. It says here in verse 6 that godliness with contentment is great gain. What does that mean? Brother Matt alluded to it, that you recognize God as the source. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is where contentment comes from. It comes from the fact that you have your eyes focused upon the source of your satisfaction. He is the one who gives you physical blessings, and he takes those physical blessings away, and you need to have your eyes fixed on the source. I submit to you tonight, a lot of people don't have their eyes fixed on the source of their satisfaction. In fact, I want to look at this in one illustration of it is in the life of Elijah. I preached on this before, but I want to bring it up in this message tonight. Go to 1 Kings chapter 17. Hold your finger back in 1 Timothy. That's where we are. But I want to look at 1 Kings 17 and show you how this man tells us we need to be focused on the source of our supply to have satisfaction. Here it is. It says in verse 1, and Elijah the Tishbite, I guess that means he was from Tish. Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Now, you may know how many years that was. Did anybody know? One of the men tell me how many years it was. There was no dew nor rain. Brother Matt.
3.5.
All right, 3.5 years. So if you don't have dew or rain, what are you going to not have, Brother Jose, if you don't have any dew or rain for 3.5 years?
No food.
No food. You know, the food doesn't come from the grocery store, right? It comes from the farm. And if there's no dew or rain, you're not going to have crops, and everything withered up, and even the animals couldn't graze, so you couldn't get steaks and roasts and all that. And they were basically starving, you know. They didn't have any food for those 3.5 years. And the Bible says here in verse 2, and the word of the Lord came unto him, that's Elijah, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. Now, we know why the man of God had to hide himself, because the wicked king that was worshiping Baal was blaming the preacher. You know, the preacher gets the blame for a lot of things. Sometimes I get blamed for something I didn't do, you know. And when I get blamed for something I didn't didn't do. I just think of all the things I did do that they don't know about. So I don't complain when I get blamed for something I didn't do. But anyway, the preacher was getting the blame for no food. And the preacher, when the king finally found him, and God allowed him to find him, he said, "No, king, you're to blame because of your lack of godliness." And you know what? If you're lacking contentment in your life, you are lacking in godliness. You're not focused on the supplier. You're not focused upon the source of your supply, which is God. And let's go on. God said, "You hide by the brook Cherith." And then in verse 4 it says, "And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook." Notice that. Drink of the brook. "And I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. So what did he have, Brother Z, that you just said he had?
Basic needs.
Basic needs, food and drink. And we know he had some kind of clothes. he had a weird dresser, but he had clothes. And it came to pass after a while, the Bible says, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. So even Elijah was affected, and he had basic needs. You know, God was taking care of him. He had water out of the brook. He was hid from the king. He had everything he needed. God was supplying for him. He was focused on the source. But the brook dried up. Why did the brook dry up? Because God has a lesson for you and I. Now I want you to see that in the next verse. Look at verse 9. God says, "Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I've commanded a widow woman to sustain you." That sounds weird. A widow woman? They don't have any money, usually, especially in these times when there was no welfare. And he said, "I'm going to have a widow woman take care of your needs, preacher." Why? Because God is the supplier. He is the source of it. What do you do when your supply dries up? You get all freaked out. I lost this person that helped me, or this job, or whatever. You get all freaked out. No, if you have satisfaction, you're looking to the supplier, God, that is going to provide. And so this brook ran dry. I remember, I'm thinking of Lincoln, who's here tonight. He's the oldest son of my daughter, Brooke. And I remember when Brooke was born, she was like the word Brooke, your mother's name, Lincoln, means a refreshing, affable, refreshing stream. And she was like that to us. When we had our daughter Brooke, she was our youngest daughter. We had just gone through a tremendous faction. My wife had lost a baby before in the midst of that conflict. And we had seen really tough times happen, and God moved us out of our house in Scranton and gave us that 2-acre property in Clark Summit. And Brooke was born as our daughter from that new property. Remember those days? And it was a refreshing and a special time. But there came a time when Brooke went to college, like you're going to have. And Brooke left the home, and that melodious laugh left the home. And that was our last daughter in the home at that time. And she left, and that brook ran dry for us. Perhaps you've had brooks run dry in your life, the death of a loved one. I know you have. And you feel the loss of that. But know this, that God never runs dry. His mercies are new every morning. My mother just moved out of her house, 70 years in her house, and that brook for her just ran dry. Somebody else is going to get that house, but God has another provision for my mother, and she is getting that provision. And so we need to remember that, yes, brooks do run dry, but God does not run dry. I've told you many times, you probably heard me say this, but I think of it again tonight. Charlie Ware, our first pastor, when he went to Bible college, I met him in Bible college up in Clark Summit, and he said to God, God, I'm willing to work the roughest job to go through college. I'm willing to work my way through. My parents don't give me any money to help me, but I'll work my way through college. And by the way, that's what I had to do. I had to work my way through college. I did work my way through college. And that's usually how God supplies, through hard work. Amen. But Dr. Ware called to be a preacher, and God had him preaching in Bible college in different places. And you know what? Every week when his tuition was due, I would go up to the mailbox with him, and you've heard me say this, and in the mailbox would be a letter from some praying saint that praying for him. They'd heard about his salvation, and maybe in California or maybe in Vermont or whatever state, they would send him money all the way through, and I never failed. But then one time at the end of school, his last tuition was due, and I said, Charlie, I'm going to walk with you up and watch you get from that mailbox the money you need, and that will be your last payment. And that summer, we were going to rent an apartment in Scranton. We didn't know how we were going to get the money for the apartment. We didn't have the money because we were going to begin the ministry of Scranton Revival Baptist Church as far as the summer was. And on Madison Avenue, that apartment was. Well, anyway, we went up to the mailbox, and he looked in the mailbox and no money. For the first time, it was like God failed. The brook ran dry. But wait a minute, had God failed? No. Later on that day, I'm a witness to this, Jim Hinkle worked in the financial office. And I remember Jim Hinkle, and he called for Charlie to come to the financial office. He said, I want you to come to the financial office. And so I went with him, because I had always gone with him to see things. And I went with him, and I thought, man, you know, they're going to demand his tuition or what? You know, like, give me the money. You owe it. Jim Hinkle said, Charlie, I want you to know somebody sent money and applied it to your last month's tuition, and it's paid off. But I have an overage, and I'm giving you a check for the overage. If you heard this story before, you know that check was the first month's rent for our apartment at 631 Madison Avenue, which was part of the beginning of Scranton Revival and our ministry there. I'm just saying, I learned practically God is the source of your supply, and he's the source of your satisfaction. If you've got your eyes on people or on circumstance, something that is helping you, and you're not godly enough to see God has provided that for you, he can give and take away and provide again, then you're going to be discouraged. And perhaps there's a person in your life that means a lot to you. They passed away, or they passed out of your life tonight. And you're like, what am I going to do? Look to God. He won't fail you. People will fail you. But God won't fail you. And you can have satisfaction even now if you focused on God that gives and takes away. And you can bless his name. And so he is the one that does that. My wife, and I've shared this many times, we lived next to the Wares. Later on, when the Wares got married, they stayed at that apartment that we had in Madison. But we got an apartment next door to them, 633 Madison Avenue. And you can remember, we had a little baby come by the name of Amy Grace, our oldest daughter. And I said to God, we need a new apartment. It's going to be more expensive. We need a new apartment. I need money for it. And then we want to take a trip to Florida because we want to visit her parents, and we had that all planned. And I took that to God, and I said, God, we need that. I didn't have the money for it. But we had been given by a lady who passed away this widow lady, she gave away different things in her apartment to different people in our church. Her name was Mrs. Bryant, and she appreciated our pastor's ministry, and she appreciated the church, and she wanted to give away, you know, certain household items after she passed. And so she designated, I'm going to pass away, which she did, and different people get these items. She gave us curtains. And so I had a little office there on our house on Madison Avenue in the back. And my wife was in the basement looking through the curtains. And she comes running up to me. And she says, look what I found taped or pinned to the back of the curtains. And it was a little envelope that was clear. And I saw, I think it was a $100 bill. A Benjamin right there. Now, this was back in the day when a $100 bill could do a lot. Not as much today. This was many, many years ago. And then I looked and there was another $100. And then another $100. And then another $100. And then another $100. And then another $100. And I'm like, wow! And then a $50. And don't you know, that gave us a round trip to Florida for our whole family and gave us another apartment for the month rent that we needed to move. And all of that God provided. You see, if you want to have satisfaction, perhaps you need to see that you've slipped from the source of your satisfaction, that brooks in your life will run dry from time to time. But God is your supplier. And perhaps God's letting that brook run dry in your life so that you'll really depend more on God. Who was it? Lorraine was here this morning. We were going out the door. Somebody was with me. Brother Steve, I think, was with me. Brother Steve, I believe. And remember, Lorraine was going out. And she said to me, Lorraine said, I don't have a ride, Pastor, to the picnic. And I said, well, all you need to do is get to the church. I said, because the ride is going to be from the church to the picnic at Bajeski's and back. So just get to the... I don't have a ride to the church. I said, you think God will fail you, Lorraine? Trust God for that. She said, that's right. God never fails. Perhaps, you know, God has got you where he wants you to exercise faith in him. And that he would help you with what you're dealing with. And that will give you satisfaction when you depend more on God. Now, she was coming to the pastor. I'm limited what I can do. But God's not limited. He's unlimited. Sometimes we look to people and we forget that God is our supplier. And he gives you what you need. Now, many times he gives you the ability to work. I believe certain people have certain talents. I would never be an auto mechanic. I've never worked as an auto mechanic. I shouldn't be a plumber. I've tried that. I shouldn't be a roofer. I've tried that. There are jobs I've tried to do, my friends, and it was not pretty. I had to find out what my talent is and what my gift is. I'm a teacher, that's my gift. And when you're doing what you're gifted to do, it's not work. It's fun. Who's my favorite? I like preaching. I like being up here. I didn't, but I do like it because God has gifted me to do it, and I know I can be a blessing to people. And so I want to do that. And it does take work. I'm always working at preaching and teaching the Word of God. I'm set aside to do it. And we should be. But what I'm trying to say to you is that God supplied to you. He is the source, but he chooses for most people to supply through working. So find a job that he's gifted you to do and do it. And you can have the satisfaction if you have it with godliness because you're looking to him. You can have it by the source. But number two, you can have satisfaction by the substance of satisfaction. Here's what it says in verse 9 and 10. I'm going to read it to you. It says, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare into many foolish and hurtful lusts. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have pierced themselves, that they've erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Now, I'm not going to say my dad had a love of money, but my dad had a lot of things. He had a thing for everything. He was not a hoarder, like a messy hoarder. He had everything organized, everything in his house. You could go in everything. It was amazing. He had everything for anything. Anything you want, it was there for him. And yet, you know, I had to clean all that up, because my dad couldn't take it with him. You see, your substance is everything that you have in this life. All the material things you have. How many hearses have you seen with U-Hauls behind them? I haven't seen any. But I had a U-Haul. I had to rent the largest U-Haul and drive till I got to bed about 2 in the morning by the time I got in. And we worked to deal with this stuff. I gave stuff away. We sold some stuff. It was hard work. And the only guy that has more stuff stored than my dad is my cousin, who is my dad's brother's oldest son, Sonny. You know him. That guy, I think what heroin is to an addict, so stuff is to him. He just gathers it. And he's such a mechanic. He has more than my dad. And he even said, what are my children going to do when I'm gone? You see, what you have in this life, you cannot take with you. You cannot take it with you. My mother always says, "What? I can't take my money with me." I said, "I can't take it either, Mom." Nobody's taking it out of here. We're all going to go to that grave if we don't see Jesus first. And we're going to go there, and the coffin, if you have a coffin and you're going to be pulled in a hearse, there's no U-Haul behind. You're taking nothing out of here. And so when we think of substance, the Bible says, honor, I'll read it in Proverbs, it says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Now, you say, what is your substance? I know Bobby Bajeski, you know what substance is. Take all of your assets that you have without debt, subtract all of your debts, and that's your net worth. Your net worth is your substance. And God says you're supposed to honor him with what you have, your net worth, all the stuff you have. Are you honoring God with that? Or is that coming between you and the Lord? See, so the substance is the key to satisfaction. In other words, we are not owners of anything. I don't own my car. I don't own my house. I don't own my substance, my net worth. You don't own. The idea is not who can die with the most toys. That will not give you satisfaction. It just won't do it. You're going to leave here, and you're going to leave it behind. And whoever you leave it to, they're going to leave it behind. And whoever they leave it to, they're going to leave it behind. Substance is not the key to life. What did Jesus say? Life does not consist in the abundance of things that we have. And God can just take us out of here so quickly. We've seen that with the heart attacks. I was talking to my son-in-law about heart attacks and people that have passed with heart attacks and how suddenly that can happen. And we went through a number of people that passed away and they left everything behind. And so you're to honor the Lord with your substance. I've told you about Russell Anderson, that in the last years of his life, he was giving away, listen to me, $25,000 every day. $25,000. He just had too much money. And he had to get rid of that money because he didn't want it to just go and somebody else going to spend it in a bad way. So he gave it away in a good way. Because you can't take your money with you. But what can you take? People. A lot of times people use people to get money. They use people, don't they, to get money. I mean, I was giving stuff away, and I don't know people's hearts, but they were happy to have me give them stuff. You know? I was giving stuff away to people. I couldn't take it all. I still got enough where it's all in my basement, and my wife is going to have to, with my daughter, take weeks to deal with it. I like what Patty and Steve do. Steve was telling me every so often they will sell things. Just so they don't have the nightmare of so much stuff. Some of you got a lot of stuff. But you can honor the Lord with that stuff. And you can use it for good. I had a lady there named B, and she was taking this and that, and she brings it to a thrift store, helps poor people. And they were just telling me all the people they can help with that, you know. And I was just like, go ahead, take it, you know, take it, take it, take it, take it. You know, do you know, Brother Joe, you know this, we all have an expiration date written on our neck. It's not a pleasant subject, but it's an expiration date. And the idea is not how much substance you can gather. The idea is how you can use things to get people saved. That's what it's all about, because that's what you can take with you. The people that you have pointed to Jesus Christ, the people that you have built into their lives, the Word of God, and they're going to go on and serve the Lord. I've told you many times about my Grand Mabel. She left me a plate, one plate, and it said, don't trouble trouble until trouble troubles you. Okay. That plate's probably worth some money. I keep it for sentimentality. Where is that plate? It's somewhere. In my office, my wife said. See, I don't look at it a lot. You know what I got from my Grand Mabel? It's not a lot of things. It's memories. It's right here. Memories. That's what you have from your parents. Whatever money they give you, and I'm not saying it's wrong. You should give an inheritance to your children, grandchildren. The Bible talks about that. That's a good thing. I think a lot of Americans, they live on credit. And Dave Ramsey said, I do without a lot so I can, I forgot how he says it. So I can later give like nobody else gives. I live like nobody lives now because I'm not living on credit. So I can later give like nobody else gives. That's the phrase. So most people live on the credit card and they just charge things. They owe a lot on their cars. They owe a lot on their houses. They owe a lot on this. How much do you owe on your car?
Nothing.
How much you own your house?
Nothing.
That's the way it should be. That's the way it should be. I owe nothing on our cars. I owe nothing on my house. That's the way it should be. God is the source. And the substance is in people where you can touch their life with the gospel of Jesus Christ and the blessings of Jesus Christ, and you could take them with you. So how rich are you going to be when your heart stops beating? How rich are you going to be when you go to the grave? That's what it's all about. So I'm talking about real satisfaction. We have the source of our supply. It's the Lord. He's always available to supply my need. My God shall supply all your need. Philippians 4:19, according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. You have him available to you. So you don't need to worry. I was asking my wife for something to pierce my belt because I'm getting skinnier. So I wanted to pierce my belt. And I said, where's that ice pick type thing? It just pierced. I need another hole in my belt. She said, you got better belts than this. I said, yeah, but I like this one. I want to pull it tight. And she gave me something to pierce in there, and I did it. But it's just God that supplies these things. I look at my wife. She is a blessing. A prudent wife is of the Lord. The Bible says houses and riches are from a father's. That's an inheritance of your father's. But a prudent wife is of the Lord. He's the supplier. Get your eyes on him. And then you can have the real substance. It's not in material things, but it's in things that are above. Set your affection. If riches increase, and there's nothing wrong with that, because if you're living debt-free, you can save so you can give, but don't set your affection on hoarding it.
Right.
Live so you can give of your substance. And honor the Lord with the first fruits of all your increase. That's all your income. Always put him first with tithes.
Right.
I try to do that in everything and in offerings. So we're talking about you can have satisfaction, number one, by the source of it, godliness, by the substance of it, people that are gold and silver and precious stones, and thirdly, by the secret of it. I want to read verse 6 again, 1 Timothy 6 in closing. It says here, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. Hey, you came in your birthday suit. Now, you may go out with a suit or a dress, but that's just your body. That's your house. You're leaving naked, right? So it says, we brought nothing into this world. It's certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. So we're talking about the secret of contentment. You know, my son Bo and his wife Mary gave me a Bible button. And you push that button and out comes a King James verse. And I love to do it. And this morning, I worked all week, and my dad's house, you know, all of that, and got rid of all that stuff. And then I push the Bible button, and it goes, to everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. Ecclesiastes 3, 1 and 2. What was I doing this week? Plucking up what was built in 1956. I remember it. I remember that house. There was no other houses. It was just a farm down the way and field and a little trail. And that house was built from scratch, 1956. We moved in 1957. I was in second grade and went to Millbrook School. I was showing Brother Steve these things. And now there's a new couple moving in, Bryce and Evelyn Vandermark, and they are in their 20s. And I said to Evelyn, are you up for children, Evelyn? She's like, yeah. I said, that's good, because I'd like to see in this house children born and families raised, a time to be born. Some of you kids will be leaving the home sooner than you think, and you parents will be sending your kids out, and then they'll get married and so forth. All these are God's seasons. Time is something that goes by. It all comes to pass. What's the secret of contentment? You know what I learned from Brother Jack Hiles on this? He had a science, you know, Joe, you know this, of the Christian life, and he says, the secret of your satisfaction is wanting what you have. Let me say that again. The secret of your satisfaction or contentment is wanting what you have. I remember when I was on my sabbatical in 2017, and I came back and church got together and gave me a car. And that car, I took it to the mechanic, and he said, I'd get rid of that car if I were you. That's a piece of junk, basically, is what he was telling me. I didn't think it was a piece of junk. It was a gift from the church. I was driving with it, and it had no car payment on it. I liked that. No car payment. Now, granted, when I went into the trunk to get something, I'd have to jump back quick, because boom, that trunk would come down like a guillotine and cut my neck off. But I had that car, and I kept that car, and I prized that car, and I loved that car, and I took care of that car. I don't know how many years, but Miss Patty was working at the bank, and some guy came in and said that, what was it, her father died, father-in-law died, one of the two. And he had a car, and it had very few miles on it, but it was an older car. And he was a spiritual man, and he wanted a pastor to get it. Patty said, I have a pastor, he needs a car. And that car replaced this car. It's a 2000 Chevy Malibu. I drive a 2000 Chevy Malibu. I drove it tonight. Something happened when I was gone. The battery wasn't working. I couldn't start it this morning, but I got the charger on it, and we fired that thing up. My dad also gave us a charger. I have a charger now. He charged it. He had everything. But I charged that car up. It's running like a top. You say, where's the air conditioning? You just roll the crank windows down. I just roll those babies down. You say, why do you like that? I'm a Baptist preacher. I don't want people thinking I'm into the world, you know, the world. It's a good thing. I have no car payment. I've had that thing now for what? A lot of time. Probably 7 years or so. Still got the car. No car payment. You say, what are you doing every month when you're supposed to be making car payment? I'm putting it in an envelope, saving for when my wife needs a car. We'll get her the car, and I'll have the car she drives. I remember Brother Hiles, some guy tried to give him a new car, and he wouldn't take it. And he started crying. He said, what can we give you? And he said, I just love you. I just love you living for the Lord. That makes me happy. That was Brother Hiles. He loved what he had. And love what you have. Appreciate what you have. And God, when he's ready, he'll give you something better. But so many people, they want to run out with that charge card. They want to get all this stuff. And then it's a nightmare for those that come after you. Love what you have. And God will bless you. And that is the secret of satisfaction. God is the source. He loves to give us things. He can give you your needs like he did Elijah. But you know many times he gives you more than that, doesn't he? And he's the source. And you can thank him for that too. But when he takes it away, are you able to submit to that and still be content? He's the substance. I'm sorry. The substance are the people that he gives you because you're living for him and given the gospel. And the secret is to want what you have from God and thank him for it. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed tonight. We've been talking about you can have